you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Did you eat enough?
Yeah.
All right, here's my little Thanksgiving story. So I met up with my family, my wife and I, Logan, and we went to Grand Cordy's house, and we all converged to one place. And we don't do it where one person, cooks everything. Everybody kind of like potluck brings something. And so our year this year was desserts. So we did what everybody does. We bought desserts. Come on, somebody. I say that because somebody posted on Facebook all these pies that they baked with a 150-year-old recipe. I thought, man, that's amazing. That's like so foreign to me. Recipes. Just not 150-year-old recipes. Recipes. But anyway, you'll get that. It's early. We're warming everybody up. Some of you are on a turkey coma state. We're going to bring you out of it slowly. And so we converged on the one house, and we went and bought the desserts. But the whole idea is everybody brings together, and then at the end, when it's all done, leftovers. I love leftovers. Now, that sounds kind of weird to some, but some of you know what I'm talking about. I like leftovers more than I do the actual meal. I don't know why. Pray for me. I don't know. But I prefer leftovers than I do the cook when it's hot. So the whole idea is everybody brings together, and then they subdivide leftovers, and you go home with something. Well, some of them messed up. I went to go get some leftovers, and I got hardly any turkey and a ton of mashed potatoes. So I'm publicly saying that because I'm giving my family an opportunity, who's holding hostage my turkey, to release my portion, and I'll stop praying the fleas of 1,000 camels in your bed. Say, let go of my portion. How many times do you realize that you have a portion from heaven? The Bible says God has prepared a table for you in the presence of the enemies. You have a portion. Say, I have a portion. One of the things I believe has to be instilled back into the body of Christ is the right to fight for your portion. Because we've developed such a passive mentality in the church world that it's like everything's okay. Whatever happens, happens. And it's just que sera, sera. Whatever will be. And if I don't get it, then it must not have been God's will. And no one stands up for their portion. And it's okay. It's wrong to ask for somebody else's portion. That could be greedy. But when it's your portion, it's okay to say, all right, wait a minute, God. This is what you provided me because your portion is defined by your promise. That's my portion. Now, I didn't come up with that. Jesus came up with it. When one day the woman came up and asked him for healing, and he said, I can't. Listen, the healing is bread for the children. Healing is bread for the children. You know what he was saying? Healing is a portion provided to those who are part of the family. When you're in the family, you have a portion. When you have a family, you have something that's provided for you. Are you in the family of God? Are you a child of God? Say, I'm in the family of God. So you say, I have a portion. Now, when you start looking at portions, you got to look at who's providing the portion. Because if you ever see children portion stuff out, now, I was the middle of four, so we had Shauna's the oldest, David, and then me. So there's years between. I was the youngest. I was the youngest for a long time. I was the baby of the family for a long time. And then Courtney showed up. Who invited her to the party? She messed up my whole dynamic. Because when you're either the oldest or the youngest, they're the only two that gets anything out of the mix. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. All the middle kids, we get left out. So all of a sudden, now my portion changed. I don't know where I'm going. I had too much turkey. All of a sudden, and what happens is, if you ever watch kids divide stuff out, one for you, one for you, one for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 for me. One for you. They don't do an equal, but when God portions out, hallelujah. He's the all-sufficient one. He's generous. Are you with me? Thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He I'm telling you, he is kind to the just, and that he is so good that Jesus said there's none good but one. So when God is the provider of your portion, Why do I say that? Because some of us, I believe, are living less than what is God's best. And maybe our health, maybe our peace, maybe our joy, maybe our finance. There are so many different areas. And if you are, don't feel bad because we're all growing. Say, I'm growing. In fact, I'm going to say most people have at least one, if not a lot of areas, that there's room for growth. I'm thankful for what God's done, but I know he still has more in store. Say, he has more in store for me. Now, where do I get that? Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter into the completed day. So you know what that means? There's a greater portion. There's a greater portion of peace. There's a greater portion of joy, of healing, of blessing, of strength. There's so much more in store for you in Jesus' name. And that might sound weird to you, but I'm going to speak from time to time over your life. And if you receive it, just say amen. Because that word, Isaiah 55:11, has an assignment. And if you receive it, Matthew 13, you allow that word with understanding come in your heart. It begins to produce change. Because Genesis 1 says, the life of the seed is in itself. You don't need to make it happen. You just need to be the receiver of the seed. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? You just need to be the receiver of the seed. Hallelujah. And I speak over your life prophetically by the authority of the name of Jesus that starting this day, you are going to step into your next portion of what God has for you. Hallelujah. Your portion will not be denied in the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? I hear that in my spirit. Your portion will not be denied in the name of Jesus. Your portion will not be denied. And the Bible says that. You can challenge everything I say with the Word of God. Because it's not my words that makes a difference, it's the word of God. But the Bible says that the promises of God to you are yea and amen, which means approved, and so be it. So I will not be denied in the name of Jesus. Now, we also know that in the provision of God, there's also the challenge of the enemy, because there is a thief, John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life more. See, my portion's getting bigger. In fact, the Bible says if you catch a thief, he has to restore back to you seven times. See, some of us, we've had things stolen, and we begin to believe that that's just the way it's going to be. But something could rise up and say, wait a minute, that's not the end of my story. That's not the last chapter of my book. That's not the way this movie's going to end. No. Have you ever watched a movie? You're like, oh, horrible. Someone says, don't worry. There's still more. That's not the way it is. It's not over yet. You got to look to yourself and speak to your neighbor. It's not over yet. The movie's not over yet. The life's not over. There's plenty more. Amen. God's got good things in store for you. Amen. God's got good things in store for you. Say, thank you, Father, for all the good things that you have in store for me. Where do I get that? I get that from the Bible. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now, some of us struggle for things, and it's because our focus is on things. But you focus on loving God, it'll set your priorities correct. It will straighten out how you handle stuff. When you make Jesus number one, when you love Jesus more than anything, there's not anything he won't keep from you. Because you can handle anything when you keep Jesus number one. Now, anytime you see someone get messed up because they got overly blessed, you might say, or things start going good and they went south, it's because their direction of their internal life, their heart was not right. Because their Jesus wasn't number one. But we got to keep coming back. It's not I prayed that prayer when I was six. And now you're 46, I'm not saying you got to keep getting saved, but I'm saying you got to keep living daily for the Lord. You can wake up, Jesus, you're number one. I'm letting you know right now. Amen? Amen. It's good to keep Jesus number one, is it not? Well, back to my thought. And so we know through scriptures that there's two opposing forces here. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness, or the devil. Light, darkness, they're constantly opposing each other. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So the thief is the devil who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Right there, Jesus began to explain the heart of the Father. For Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the expressed image, the reflection of the Father. That's why he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we know that there's someone or something, either way you want to handle that, is trying to steal. And the devil, a thief doesn't give you something you don't want. A thief tries to take something you have of value. So it's not like, oh, the devil's trying to give me cancer. No, he's trying to steal your healing and health.
Yep.
You see that? Healing is portion for the children.
Yes.
Oh, the devil's trying to give me confusion. No, he's trying to take the mind of Christ.
Right.
Because you have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? So a robber wouldn't come up to you. A thief is not going to break into your house and hold up and say, I'm giving you dirty trash. You have to keep them in your house for 3 days. No, he doesn't. He tries to take what you have.
Right.
So when you understand what's actually happening, you're not trying to prevent the devil from giving you something. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. No, you're stopping him from stealing what already belongs to you.
Amen.
You tell him to put it back. Amen.
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 They put it back. Now that sounds strange for some, but that's okay. If this sounds a little strange, what I'm saying, put it on the back burner. Let the Lord reveal it to you. Because some things, when we come and approach it from the carnal, natural thinking, 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter 2, tells us we don't receive it because we have to have a revelation of it. It has to be discerned spiritually, which means it's got to be made alive from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But I want you to look today how we can handle the enemy and the obstacles that he would throw. Because you're never going to see a devil show up and stand in front of you.
Right.
Did you hear me? And he's not red, he don't have a pitchfork, and he don't have horns like that. In fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation that when the devil stands before the throne of judgment before God, again, when he started as an angel before he fell, he was beautiful. You want to see what sin does to people? You don't have to look at your neighbor and see how they're living in sin and their world just keeps getting worse and worse. You're like, man, how old are you? I'm 23. You look like you're 93. What happened to you? Sin doesn't play fair. The Bible says that when Lucifer stands or the devil stands before the throne of God in Revelation, that the nations of the world will be amazed. They're not going to be amazed at how big he is. They're not going to be amazed how beautifully is, they're going to be amazed how such an insignificant figure has kept the world for generations under fear. It's going to be like, really? You? I've been afraid of you? That's what has been keeping me up? You? See, your God is the all-sufficient, all-powerful one. The devil's not no match. The devil is not a match for God. Amen. And the devil's no match for you when you're in him, in Christ. Now, when you're on your own, doing your own thing, you're going to get your teeth knocked in. But when you do it, when you're by the authority, under authority, over authority kind of deal, then it's the devil, you resist the devil. We quote the verse, resist the devil, he'll flee. But you got to look at the verse before that says, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. See, if you don't submit yourself under the authority, the will and word of God, then you have no authority to be over. And you can resist the devil all day, and you wonder why he's standing there laughing at you. Well, when's the last time you submitted your life and your will under the will of the Father? But when you're doing the will of the Father, guess what's going to happen? Now you're in a place of authority, and you represent him. And when you speak in alignment with the will and word of God, all of a sudden it's as if he's speaking. And when he speaks, things happen. And so you resist the devil, and guess what? He's going to flee. He's going to flee. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to look at the Gospel of Mark. Mark 11, verse 21. I'm going to start at verse 21. And Peter calling to remembrance. Now, this is all about, remember Jesus cursing the fig tree? Do you remember that story? If you don't, stay with me. And Peter calling to remembrance said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree, which you cursed, is withered away. I want you to first notice that Jesus is talking to a tree. Now, that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But we see also Jesus talking to wind, Jesus talking to water.
Yep.
And if that doesn't blow you away, not only did he talk to them, they listened.
Yeah.
Now that's really even crazy.
Yeah.
And the Bible even says that when after the storm and he woke up in the boat and they said, Jesus, don't you care we're about to die? And he rebuked the wind and spoke peace to the waves and it calmed down. And the disciples were amazed that even the wind and the water. It's one thing to talk to something. It's a whole other level for that thing to listen and obey. Come on, somebody, work with me. Don't read the Bible as a fairy tale story. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Now another translation says, have the God kind of faith. How does God operate? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now notice, what does he do? Have faith and say. Have faith and say. See, when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you're saved. Believing, speaking. Romans 10 talks about that. Getting quiet. It's not saying anything. It's saying what God is saying under his authority, his word. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
It's not, back in the day, people misunderstood. And they would say the word Cadillac 100 times thinking that would do it. No. And God doesn't mind you having Cadillac. God doesn't mind you having things. He just doesn't want things to have you.
Right.
But it's speaking the word. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself or into something. Takes too long. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Yes.
Now, Jesus is not talking about a physical mountain, because nowhere in Scripture can I see Jesus moving the Grand Canyons or some peak, mountain peak, anywhere, right? Nor do I see disciples doing that. What is he saying? The mountain represents something. That mountain represents the obstacles in the path of your life.
Yeah.
On your journey, on your pathway, on your walk of life, because life is about a journey. Hebrews 12, run the race set before you. It's about the path. And in the path to your promotion, in the path to healing, in the path to believing, in the path to whatever, the enemy will try to put up obstacles.
Right.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
He will try to put up obstacles. The obstacle to hold you back, obstacle to deceive you, the obstacle to frustrate you. For Jesus, it was a fig tree that had leaves, and he was happily expected to eat, and it had no figs. And even though it was not seasoned for the figs, but a fig tree, when it has fig leaves, typically has figs. So if you see fig leaves, you should have figs. And so he was expecting, even out of season, something because he was in covenant for provision. Now, I don't want to go down that road, but you got to understand Jesus operated the Old Testament covenant, and because of his obedience to the will of the Father, all that should have been provided.
Okay.
So the fig tree at that point was a referencing to the mountain. It was a lack situation. So any obstacle, say any obstacle. What obstacle are you dealing with today?
Right.
What thing that all of a sudden some people seem like it's easy for them, but you get to it, it seems impossible. And you're like, Lord, why is this hard for me? They're getting blessed. Where's my blessing? They're being healed. Where's my healing? Why am I not in peace? Why am I being tormented? Why am I having this struggle? What obstacle are you dealing with?
Right.
Now, some of us have read that verse. I know I have. And we begin to try to apply it in the best knowledge that we operate with. You might be saying to something, be removed. You resist it and it didn't resist. But I think we're missing one key to the mystery of the kingdom here. I believe there's another key to this that brings clarity to the mystery, to that mountain. Did you hear me? Before I get to that, and we're going to back up a few verses and look right in the same context. Before I get to that, let me just bring this context here. Isaiah 55 says, as God's word goes forth, it will not return void, but accomplish to which it has been sent.
Right.
So the word of God has an assignment.
Right.
Say, God's word has an assignment. If you embrace that assignment, it's going to produce fruit. Matthew 13. The Bible also tells us in Isaiah 54 that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And people stop there. And it goes on to say, and every tongue or word that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So what is happening? When words are spoken, words or issues, they have assignments. All right? Now put that on the back burner for later. Are you with me? Let's back up to verse 13 to set this whole situation up. And seeing a fig tree, verse 13, Mark 11, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, Jesus came, if haply might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, there he goes talking to it again. What did Jesus say to it? No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And later the disciples said, look, Lord, Peter, look, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed is withered up and died. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Because you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea. And if you believe in your heart without doubting, it shall happen. There's a lot of volume. You can spend a lot of time here studying just these verses. But here's what I want to draw out of that. Peter said, you've cursed the fig tree. Jesus didn't stand there and curse it the way we would say or think in our world. What did Jesus do? Look at that verse again. He said unto them, no man eat fruit of you hereafter, forever. What was he doing? He was canceling the fig tree's assignment. Stay with me. What did he do? He canceled the assignment of the fig tree to produce fruit for people to eat. He was canceling its assignment. Peter called it a curse. What did he do? He was canceling its assignment. When he was canceling its assignment, no matter what it is, without an assignment, and boy, we could go all different directions in this, without an assignment, you wither. Without an assignment, you wither. I don't care if you're a person or a fig tree.
Right.
He cancels. Some people are like, why is my life withering? Or what's your assignment? If you don't have an assignment from heaven, and you're just sitting there floating with no assignment, guess what? You're going to start to wither, and that's not the plan of the Father. Without an assignment, you'll wither. So how did he get it to wither? He canceled the assignment. Peter called it a curse. He didn't say, I hate you, fig tree. You're a bad fig tree. Fig tree, I want you to die. He didn't have to tell the fig tree to die. All he had to do was cancel the assignment. Why could Jesus cancel the assignment? Because if you remember in another place, Jesus, are you with me, 8:30 service? Woo, we're going somewhere. If you remember at another time, Jesus was with the disciples and he asked them, who do you say that I am? First, let me back up. He said, who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say that. Well, who do you say that I am? And Simon, who later became Peter, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus said, Simon, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, but my Father from heaven, which means that is a revelation from heaven, not an idea from earth. And he said, I'm going to change your name from Simon to Petros. Peter, Petros referring to rock. And upon that rock, upon that revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail, right? And he said, then he goes, and I'm giving you the keys. Wait a minute. Let me back up a little. To give something, you must have something. Jesus said, didn't say, oh, look, I found the key. I'm going to give it to you. No, Jesus said, I'm going to give you key, secret access to authority in the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you kingdom authority. I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What another translation says, what you permit will be permitted. Or what you allow will be allowed. What you don't allow will not be allowed. What you cancel on earth, right? It's all in the same context of thought, is it not? If you bind and loose, the same thing as permitting or not allowing or canceling. It's all so, and that is part of the keys of the kingdom. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever now you cancel.
Right.
Hallelujah. How did they get the keys of the kingdom? Because they had a revelation on who Christ was. They had a revelation on who Jesus was. They had a revelation, John 1:1, who's the Word? The Word became flesh, verse 14. They had a revelation of the Word. And when you get a rhema from heaven, a revelation of the Word, it puts into your hands a key, a key, a key. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you and I, belong to us and our children. And so now, guess when there's a mountain, you don't have to say, mountain, I hate you. Mountain, you got to die. What do you say? You speak to what it is. If unforgiveness is, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, you don't have to try to forgive. No, you forgive by faith. And you speak to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness? That's kind of weird. Well, if Jesus can talk to a tree, if Jesus can talk to a wave, unforgiveness, I cancel your assignment against me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why should I struggle? Why should I allow unforgiveness to be an obstacle in my life that hinders me? Because unforgiveness doesn't mean, when you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that they deserved it or you deserved it or it's acceptable. When you forgive them, you're releasing yourself from them. And if you want to know the truth, you release yourself from the tormentors, because Jesus said that anyone who doesn't forgive, the Heavenly Father can't forgive you, and you're turned over to the tormentors. Why should I be tormented? Why should I take the hit of their stupidity against me? I didn't ask for it. I didn't deserve it. They brought in my life. It's bad enough, but why should I be tormented because of what they did to me? I want to be forgiven. I want to be released. I want to be free from the hurt and anything in the future from that connection to that person. Sometimes you got to love people from afar. You say, unforgiveness. See, whatever it is, lack, you know, I'm not going to let you be an obstacle in my life anymore. But every time I get a desire or direction from God and I start, all of a sudden I'm struggling for, no, that's lack. Lack's not part of the covenant of the Word of God. That's not a promise from heaven, is it? No, so now lack becomes an obstacle, a mountain. And what do you do to the mountains? You speak to it. Lack, I cancel your assignment against me. Hallelujah. Sickness, I cancel your assignment against me. Now, that might not make sense to the natural man, but I'm telling you, to the spiritual man, the person who receives it, you begin to understand, wait, I have authority in this. I don't have to embrace it. I don't have to receive it. And we can't cover everything in one message, but I think this is an interesting point. We've been trying to tell mountains where to go, and all we need to do is cancel. And the moment we cancel the assignment, we can walk on. Jesus didn't stand there and say, I wonder if it's going to work. I wonder if it's going to work. I wonder if it's going to work. Because when you stand waiting for it to work, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to whisper in your mind, see, it didn't work. I told you it wouldn't work. Nothing's changed. Look at it. It looks just as healthy. Those leaves look just as green. Jesus didn't stand wondering, because he already knew. And once he said it, he walked on. And it was, when you look at the other gospels, it's when they came back around and the disciples wanted to look. Jesus didn't need to look. Jesus already knew. In fact, that you can see Peter saying, Lord, he had to get his attention. Lord, look at this. Jesus, like, have faith in God. What's the problem? Didn't you understand? What's the problem here? Because once it's been canceled from its assignment, it has no other choice but to wither and die. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I think some of you need to start canceling some stuff that the enemy's, for no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You can cancel it. You have the authority to cancel in the name of Jesus. And I speak the anointing of revelation to rest on your heart and mind, that that become alive to you in a way, even in the darkness of an attack. It's something the Holy Spirit rise up that word, and you begin to say, wait a minute, I don't need to tolerate this. I can speak to this thing and cancel it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're out of time. You feel fear? Just talk to fear. Fear, I cancel you. I cancel your assignment against me. And I choose perfect love. Because perfect love casts out fear.
Yes, it does.
For God has not given me the spirit of fear,
no,
but a power, love, amen, and a sound mind.
Yes,
strife, I cancel your assignment,
yeah,
against me.
Yeah.
Why should I allow strife in my life? Because
ah,
the Bible says where there's strife, there's every evil work. Why should,
right,
I, why should I tolerate that in my home?
Right.
No, no, I cancel that assignment. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to let the Colossians 1 through. I'm going to let the Amplified, Classic Amplified. I'm going to let the peace of God rule as an umpire and settle with finality every question that rises in my mind.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This thing works, amen?
Yes, it does.
You're not weak. You're not a victim.
Right.
You have the keys of the kingdom. When you get the revelation, you have authority,
yes, yes,
to speak to it and cancel it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If you bow your head and close your eyes.